Would you pray with me? Blessed Holy Spirit, might you rest upon us this evening, that our ears would hear and our hearts receive your loving and life-giving words to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Last Supper tonight is famous for three things. Famous for the foot washing. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and we've done foot washing services here in the past. Some have enjoyed it and some not so much. It is famous for the institution, the words of institution of communion. This is my body, this is my blood. And it's also famous for mandatum novum, for the new commandment. Love as I have loved you. Yet the Apostle Paul in our 1 Corinthians reading didn't identify the night that way, did he? He didn't say, on the night of the foot washing, on the night of the communion, on the night of the new commandment. He said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed. That's how he identified that evening as distinctive. Why would Paul highlight the betrayal, bring that right to the surface as one of the very important things of that night? And if we follow his lead and we give some thought to the betrayal, what might we be able to learn from looking at this night through that lens? And certainly when we look at the story again with that in mind, we do begin to notice the centrality, the importance of betrayal to the story. Judas's betrayal is mentioned in verses 2 and 11. And in the parts of the chapter that we didn't read, I would have loved to have been able to read the whole thing, but actually the whole thing in John is about three chapters long. There wouldn't be time for anything else in the service. But in the part we didn't read, the betrayal of Judas takes center stage in verses 21 to 30, and we have that awkward and painful story of Judas being gently confronted, maybe even encouraged to go and do what you're about to do, do it quickly. And he slips out into the night for his date with 30 pieces of silver. But the betrayal of Judas is not the only betrayal that night, is it? Immediately after Jesus gave the new commandment, he goes on to say, well, you can't come with me. And Peter, of course, being Peter, impetuous Peter says, well, I want to go wherever you go. And Jesus said, and he says, I'm willing to die for you. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus goes, really? Before dawn, you will have denied me three times. You will deny even knowing me. And sure enough, that's precisely what happened, isn't it? So here we have two different types of betrayal in our story. One apparently out of malice and greed, or although it could also be disappointment and delusionment. The messianic kingdom that Judas had anticipated with Jesus as the Messiah seemed to be getting further and further away from any kind of reality rather than closer to a reality. Whatever else was going on, his motives were dark, and they were selfish, and they were destructive. On the other hand, we have a betrayal that is a moment of weakness by somebody who thought they were much stronger than they actually were. Now, the obvious significance of Judas' betrayal is that it's the vehicle by which the story progresses, right? He betrays Jesus, and then the arrest takes place, and followed by the crucifixion, the trial and the crucifixion, the events of Good Friday. And so, of course, it's important in that respect. The story can't go on in some ways without that event taking place, that betrayal taking place. But I believe there's a deeper significance to these betrayals on this night and why they are so important to the story. knowing what was about to happen from both of them, from both Judas and Peter, how did he treat them? What did he do to them? Knowing the betrayal was coming, he washed their feet. He fellowshipped with them in the meal and instituted communion for them. He gave the command to love to them. Or in the words, the phrase from the first verse of our reading in John, he loved them to the end, to the very end. So when Jesus finally gave them the new commandment, love each other the way I have loved you, it wasn't just the story of his long relationship with them over the last several years. It was specifically and most immediately about that night. The humble service of the foot washing, the hospitality, the fellowship, and the memorial of the Eucharist, and his response to the betrayals of Judas and Peter, were central examples of what love looks like, what his love looks like. Yes, he loved them to the end. Have you ever betrayed Jesus like Peter? Usually by your silence, choosing out of a fearful desire to fit in. Does that sound familiar? Not to identify in that moment as a follower of Jesus, though you could have and maybe should have. Have you ever done anything like that? I have. Have you ever betrayed Jesus like Judas did? Possibly disillusioned at how key aspects of your life have unfolded? Have you ever prioritized your 30 pieces of silver over your call to follow Jesus? Especially to follow him into the dark and the dangerous places. And those 30 pieces of silver will be different for each one of us. It could be material wealth. It could be status. It could be admiration. A comfortable life. Or various unregulated appetites and longings. Whatever our idols might be. Again, I know I have. And as I'm talking tonight, if any moments of betrayal, your betrayals, your story of betrayal to Jesus have come to mind, perhaps even causing you shame and sorrow, how do you suppose Jesus has responded to your betrayal? Can you hear the words of our gospel over the condemning words of the accuser? Can you believe that Jesus loves you to the end? Judas couldn't. All he could hear were the words of condemnation that ended in his self-destruction. On the other hand, Peter could. He heard and responded to the thrice spoken question, "Do you love me more than anyone or anything else?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." He also at that time responded to his calling to feed my sheep. And once he was filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, both humbled and empowered, a new Peter emerged to proclaim boldly, serve humbly, and eventually to die faithfully. I pray that we can hear Jesus' words to us tonight in response to our betrayals of Jesus. Now, since the new commandment is to love each other, like Jesus loved and loves, how must we then respond to those who have betrayed us? Well, Jesus loved, served, and communed with, and sacrificed himself for those who betrayed him, and we must do likewise. We are commanded to forgive and to be ready for and open to reconciliation whenever and wherever possible. and to make that evident by our sacrificial service and not withholding fellowship from those who have betrayed us. And the compelling reason for that is because that is precisely what Jesus has done for us. That is how Jesus has responded to our betrayal, and he said, love like that. That's the love that we're talking about here. Having understood that profound truth, a truth we are confronted with every time we take communion here, how could we in all good conscience do otherwise with our sisters and brothers? Those are unsettlingly blunt words, aren't they? And my mind, perhaps yours as well, is flooded with a whole bunch of buts. But you don't know how bad it was. They don't deserve it. They don't. They've never asked for forgiveness. They haven't. But. And there's some measure of inevitability to those buts, isn't there? Because what we are acknowledging with those buts is that the call to love like Jesus loves is beyond our capacity. We can't love like that. And often enough, we're not really sure we want to, depending on the person. And that is where the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit comes into the story again. Just as Peter was changed on the day of Pentecost, we experience similar change when the Spirit indwells us to heal us of those hurts, to restore us, and to reconcile us both to the Father and to one another. Reconciliation is a key work of the Spirit in our lives and world. So come, Holy Spirit, that we may be able to love as you love. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus loved them, loved us, to the end. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.